With nearly 5,000 specialists dedicated to supporting dealer financial services, Ally has the expertise to help you with your retail finance, F&I, and remarketing needs. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem.
Welcome to Daily Drive for Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm Jake Neer in Detroit, in for Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker in New York City. Today on the show, the United States' largest auto port faces disruptions due to the Baltimore Bridge collapse. Tesla must give driver assist demonstrations with every U.S. sale. And suppliers react to the EPA's revised emissions rule. Plus, is the industry returning to the old normal, like pre-pandemic normal? J.D. Power's Tyson Jomini joins the show to talk about it.
You talk about the bad old days. If there's one thing that we're seeing that is starting to get back to close to 2019 levels, it's that incentive spend this year is going to be $3,200 a unit, almost double last year.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
Traffic is suspended at the Port of Baltimore until further notice after a container ship smashed into a four-lane bridge, causing it to collapse. It's the busiest U.S. port for car shipments. Baltimore's private and public terminals handled almost 850,000 autos and light trucks in 2023, the most of any U.S. port. The port handles imports and exports for major automakers, including Nissan, Toyota, General Motors, Volvo, Jaguar Land Rover, and Volkswagen Group, including luxury models for Audi, Lamborghini, and Bentley. Volkswagen said this morning that its port operations in Baltimore were not affected due to the locations of its facilities. In an emailed statement, it said, quote, "We do not anticipate any impact on vessel operations, but there may be trucking delays as traffic will be rerouted in the area." As of recording time, it was not clear how many people were killed or injured in the disaster. The Baltimore Fire Department called it a, quote, "mass casualty event."
Tesla staff are now required to install and demonstrate the company's driver assistance technology before handing cars over to buyers in North America. CEO Elon Musk calls it a hard requirement that will slow deliveries. Musk instructed employees to perform a short test ride with customers to show the system Tesla markets as full self-driving. That's according to an internal memo seen by Bloomberg News. Workers also have to perform checks on any vehicles returned from service. Musk also said customers will now get a month's free trial of the driver assist technology.
Auto suppliers are generally happy with the EPA's revisions to its vehicle emission standards. They say the changes provide clarity on where the market for electric vehicles and hybrids is headed, while giving the industry enough leeway to make the targets feasible. Ann Wilson leads government affairs for the Motor and Equipment Manufacturers Association, also called MEMA, which represents about 1,000 companies in the automotive supply chain. She says the new rule provides a clear regulatory path and is achievable but challenging.
One of the things that's really tricky is that a lot of our members are being required right now to do two programs. They have an ICE program and they'll have a zero emission program of one kind or another. Obviously, that gets to be very capital intensive. It's very intensive for the workforce. And these are some of the real difficulties, the challenges. When I say, you know, we're pleased and we think it's achievable, but it's challenging, these are some of the challenges that we're going to have to work through as an industry.
The EPA finalized a rule last week setting emission standards for vehicles for the 2027 through 2032 model years, projecting that battery electric vehicles will account for between 30 and 56% of light-duty sales in the U.S. during the 2030 through 2032 model years. That's down from the estimate of 67% the EPA published in its original rule.
Mercedes-Benz iconic G-Wagon off-roader will get electrified powertrains, expanded driver assistance tech, and design tweaks. The 2025 Mercedes-Benz G550 accelerates from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 5.3 seconds and posts a top speed of 130 miles per hour. A new 3-liter turbocharged six-cylinder engine produces 443 horsepower, 27 more horses than the outgoing model's V8. A 48-volt integrated starter generator supports lower engine speeds. The G550 and the performance Mercedes AMG G63 will arrive at U.S. dealerships in the second half of 2024. Pricing was not disclosed. Mercedes also plans to launch a compact, battery-powered G-Class SUV in the U.S. in the second half of the decade.
And we now have dates for the UAW's unionization vote at VW's Chattanooga plant. According to the National Labor Relations Board, workers will vote April 17th through 19th on whether to join the UAW. And those are today's headlines.
Coming up, J.D. Power's Tyson Jomini joins the show from here in New York. That's next on Daily Drive.
For over 100 years, Ally has helped dealers like you serve your customers by providing the best-in-class products and services you need and by remaining true to the automotive passion we share. Your dedicated Ally account executive will work hand-in-hand with you to help you gain efficiencies, increase your product offerings, and work to improve per-vehicle revenue because we care about your business as much as you do. We're all better off with an Ally. Contact your local Ally account executive to get started today. Ally, do it right.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jake Neer with Kellen Walker. Is it a new normal or an old normal, or maybe a bit of both? The auto industry is experiencing some kind of reshuffling along with the rest of the economy. That's a big topic of discussion this week in the Big Apple, where many industry leaders are gathered for the New York Auto Show. Our own Jamie Butters spoke with J.D. Power Vice President of Data Analytics, Tyson Jomini, in NYC.
Tyson Jomini, welcome back to Daily Drive.
Thanks, Jamie. Good to see you again.
Great to have you here. We're at the New York Auto Show, or actually the Auto Forum New York, sponsored by J.D. Power and NADA. It's the day before the press days of the New York Auto Show. Very big gathering today.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
So we started the day talking about kind of the economic, financial landscape of the industry. And a lot of things were very positive. The economy is doing quite well and really better than most other economies. But we see a lot of industry data that kind of shows us heading maybe to some of the bad old days of before the pandemic, when new cars didn't make money and dealers were all beating each other up just to break even.
Yeah, things are certainly returning toward the mean, but we're by no means anywhere close to that. As a matter of fact, Q1, we just saw a record ever Q1 consumer expenditures. The number of dollars that consumers are spending on new cars in the United States set an all-time record in Q1. And that's been driven by higher volumes. So we know production is coming back. We know we're producing more and we're selling more vehicles and we're selling them now at a cheaper price. So despite the fact that prices are coming down, and maybe because they're coming down, we are seeing volumes increase so that consumers have spent more money on new cars in Q1 than ever.
And that has been one of the changes, especially during the limited production, during the pandemic and the chip shortage, that prices went up and a lot of people kind of were priced out of the new car market. But maybe that's starting to ease back just a little more mix.
It is. We're actually still seeing higher MSRPs. But what's offsetting that is that we're seeing dealers are starting to discount a lot more to consumers, mm-hmm. and we're starting to see the return of incentives. You talk about the bad old days. If there's one thing that we're seeing that is starting to get back to close to 2019 levels, it's that incentive spend this year is going to be $3,200 a unit, almost double last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of advertising, again, like the times before the pandemic, where it's, hey, come on down, get 10% off the sticker price. And those are some big numbers. And that's 10%, I know, is a kind of a triggering number for you guys in the analysis of when incentives are really too high.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I saw 15% off MSRP advertised recently over the weekend during NCAA games. So we are starting to see that return. And for dealers, though, they got to be excited about that aspect, that the return of advertising the deal, right? Mm-hmm. That deal is in their name. And they're going to start getting back to those levels because consumers are going to see these ads and come in and expect a good deal on a car.
It's a part of what's so fascinating about the industry, right? Some elements are good for dealers and good for consumers, but not so great for the manufacturers. And other things like shortages in production can be good for dealers and automakers, but not for consumers or suppliers. So it's always such an interesting Rubik's Cube.
It is. It's still a very favorable market for automakers. Again, prices are still up, basically a third from what we started pre-COVID. So it's good for them. Dealers are still making a lot of money, but consumers are just now starting to get better deals. I mean, we're going to see transaction prices fall $1,100 this year. And we've only seen prices fall on average 1 year this entire century that we're now, 24 years into. Mm-hmm. And that was back during the recession. I mean, 08, 09 is the last time we saw prices fall. And so it's very rare to see that in the auto industry, but that's good news for consumers. It will bring better deals, and it will help bring down those monthly payments a bit.
So this year sounds like kind of a sweet spot. Production is up and steady. Inventory is not quite out of hand yet, and customers are getting better prices. But it seems like the inventory is growing and projected to grow further this year. Is there a risk that in maybe 26 or 27, things start to look more like they did in 2018, 2019?
It's certainly possible. But just because we have the capacity doesn't mean we necessarily have to use it. Mm-hmm. But what we have seen in the past is that, when the capacity is there, we do use it. We don't have to, but we've shown that it's there. A lot remains to be seen between now and then. We have a lot of the game still to be played before those levels, but there is that potential there. I mean, we are increasing inventory pretty quickly. We have 1.7 million units on the ground today, and we are expecting in 24 for production to outpace sales by about another 500,000. So that amount will go up. But again, that means more incentives for consumers and prices should start to come down. So there, it's a double-edged sword for each of these metrics.
Yeah, and more variety, more to choose from. I guess the one thing, there's so many, longtime players who have the scars of those past years of over-incentivizing and overproduction and lack of profitability. But we also have some new players coming into the market that could really skew that and ramp up some of that push for market share that has been so toxic in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of entries, automakers like VinFast and others that have entered the market recently that are competing for market share. I would say right now, automakers, the traditional automakers have that great strength, which is the dealer network. When inventory is low, automakers are kind of looking at the direct-to-consumer model going, oh, that's really great. But when inventory levels get high, they're going to be really thankful for their dealer partners to take the inventory, to work with consumers, to find that market clearing price. I think what we're going to find is a return to the strength of the dealer model here in 2024, because automakers are going to lean on them again to assist. But, you're talking about maybe a return to the bad old days. In 2019, we were probably getting a lot of pressure built in the industry, too much inventory on the ground. Well, we had an event that cleared all that out. And the result was everybody got massive profit out of it. Mm-hmm. Unlike the old days, 08, 09, when there was a reckoning because the profit was gone. Mm-hmm. In this case, the profits went the other way. So we've had several years now of these surplus profits. And if you had those, whether you're a dealer or an automaker, you've chosen how you wanted to reinvest that. Mm-hmm. And I hope most people invested that back in their business, invested it in the product, in their processes, in their people to get ready for the future. But if you didn't use that, you maybe have lost that opportunity. But we just had a massive opportunity with all that profit. I mean, maybe we were overdue for a recession when COVID happened. Well, whatever took place, it was a net positive for everyone. And so how they invested that, we're about to find out.
Yep, we'll see. It'll take years as we watch it play out. But we know we'll be talking with you and your colleagues at J.D. Power as we keep track of all the numbers and see how they do.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jake Neer, in for Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to automotive news journalists John Irwin, Urvash Kakaria, and Michael Martinez for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on the New York Auto Show, the impacts of the Baltimore Bridge collapse on auto shipping, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for our conversation with Hyundai Global COO Jose Munoz. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.